I'd like to say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank you on this afternoon for assembling with us via the conference call to worship with us in spirit and in truth. I want to thank all brothers on this afternoon. Thank the one that led us in hymns to our Lord on this afternoon, the prayers that was offered up to God, the one that read the scripture reading, and the one that is facilitating this call on this afternoon. I want to thank those men for their presence and their participation. I would like to say to those that are on the call that may not be members of the Lord's church, may not be members of the Church of Christ, I'd like to offer to you first off, that the Bible records for us in Jeremiah chapter 10 and the verses 23, where Jeremiah recognized and said, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." Jeremiah realized that while we live on this earth, it is not for man to direct himself. And then Jesus said to those that would be Christians in Matthew chapter 6 and the verses 33, he shared with them what was what would become a priority for them in their life when he said to them, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And so he put at the forefront of one's walk in life is to seek the kingdom first. And then when Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus, knowing the heart of men, said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and the verses number 3, he answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again spiritually, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So that which God had said for one to seek, it required one to be born again to become a part of that kingdom for which God rules. And then in Acts 2:47, the Bible says on the first worship service after the resurrection of Christ, the Bible said, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved." So those that are saved from their sins have been added to the church, and the church is the kingdom of God. And so as I, before I close on this afternoon, if you're on this call, and someone has invited you to be to worship with us on this afternoon, I will give you those five steps that one must take in order to become a Christian, a child of God. On this afternoon, again, the scripture was read in your hearing. I have enjoyed, and hopefully you have also, the first letter that Peter wrote to Christians. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, where as we move toward the close of this letter, Peter said to them, and on verse number 5 of 1 Peter 5, he talked to them and taught them that when the Christian lowers themselves, then they can be made of true service to the Lord. Until a person lowers himself as God would have it, Peter taught, then one would not be as a true servant for Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse number 5 of 1 Peter 5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so Peter says, likewise, as in like manner, as those of us were, as he talked about elders in the previous verses, those that are members were to submit themselves to the elders. He says, in like manner, those that are younger were to submit themselves, those that are younger members of the congregation were to submit or to place themselves under those members that are older. And he said, yea, he said, all of you or everyone, let us learn to be subject one to another. And then he says, as I've taken my text from this afternoon, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud and give grace to the humble. And so I want to talk this afternoon and hope that you get a clear understanding as we'll do a case study of what does God, Peter was really saying to those Christians when he said to them, and be clothed with humility. To be clothed with your humility. And I want you to understand that in that word clothed, it meant to tie something on tightly, as in wearing it around your waist so that it might never fall off. So that which Peter was telling them to wear, which was humility. He wanted to be such that this thing called humility is something that we wear the rest of our lives. And he says that it was humility that we are to be wearing. And he says that that humility, and we'll look at a couple of scriptures that will define for us what humility is, and hopefully we can again get a understanding from the Word of God as examples are written, given, and defined as to what humility is. Humility, by definition, is not thinking of yourself as better than other people. Not thinking of yourself as better than other people. Now, for that, let's look at a couple of scriptures as we define this word. And Paul's writing to the Philippian church. In Philippians chapter 2, and the verse is number 3. Paul wrote, let nothing, don't do anything, be done through strife or vain glory. In other words, let us not do anything because of contention or anger that we have with someone or towards someone, and not only that, don't do anything that when it comes to glory, it is empty because of what you've done. He says, but in lowliness of mind, that's humility, in lowliness of mind, then he defines it, let each esteem other better than themselves. Paul said, when it comes to humility, when it comes to a lowliness of mind, that mind is one that thinks about the word esteems and considers other person, the word better here means above themselves. So the lowliness of mind, which fits with not thinking of yourself as better than other folk, is when we think about or consider other people above ourselves. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, and the verse is number 29, Matthew 11 and verse 29, Jesus says there, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, that's humble, in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Jesus said, when we become meek and lowly in our mind, Jesus said, you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So as we define this word humility, hopefully we're seeing now of the mindset. It's a lowliness of mind. It's a mindset that I don't think I'm better than no one. Because he says back in 1 Peter 5, the results of when I don't. He says, for God resisted the proud. So proud here is the opposite of humility. The opposite of humility. So proud, being proud, is a way of thinking or behaving that comes from believing that you are better than other people. It's a form of arrogance that one may have. And Peter says, if that is your mindset, he said, for God resisted the proud, God disapproves, or God opposes you when that is your mindset. For God resisted the proud, however, Peter says, but he gives grace, or he gives favor to the humble. And the humble here is where Jesus said, having a meek and being lowly in heart, it's in humble in spirit, it's a state of mind, is how one thinks. It's thinking that I am lower than others. I put myself, as Paul told the Philippians, you esteem others better than yourself. You put other people above you. You don't put yourself first. And that is to be clothed with humility. That's my subject and my title, that each of us that are servants of God, that serve in the kingdom, we will see as we do this case study that we learn that if we're not there, we can clothe ourselves with humility. We tie around our waist that humbleness that God, through Peter, giving it to him through the Holy Spirit, said to them. And so, if you would, look in John chapter 13. Is there an example of what we find in being clothed with humility? I think in John chapter 13, there's no greater teacher than Jesus himself. And so I ask that you walk with me through these verses as we define clearly what humility is and how Jesus taught it and how his disciples missed it, and how if we are not careful, we can live in this life and leave this earth and never grasp humility. The Bible says in John 13, Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The word depart here means Jesus knew that his death was near. And the Bible says, having loved his own in the world, he loved them unto the end. And so I want us to try to see what, when Jesus said this love that he's talking about, this type of love is not affected by the failure of the object or the person, nor is it made less by the unworthiness of those on whom it is given. When I think about this type of love, it's a type of parental love that one may have that Jesus showed divine love. Parental love is a love that I have for my children. And my love for them is not affected by what they are not able to accomplish or by their failures in life. That does not affect my love for them. And my love for them is not lessened by their not being worthy of it, because this parental love is not based on, it's the agape love, is not based on performance. It's not based on condition. It's not based on situation, because you're going to find in the letter that the text that we're reading, Jesus loved them to the end. I noticed that there was one in the end that will fail Jesus. He, as some would say, may not have been worthy, but the Bible tells us, John wrote, he loved all of them until the end. The time of this was the Thursday, the last week of the Lord's life prior to his crucifixion. Jesus, knowing what would happen, knowing who would betray him, and we'll see in the text, it says in verse number 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that Judas will fail him, but he loved him to the end. That's why it's divine love. And again, as I said, it's that type of parental love that one may have for their children, that it's not based on whether they graduate from college, whether they are successful in the world. It's a love that one has for them to the end. And I want to say this to all of us, as we find in verse number 2. Any of us can allow the devil to come into our heart with evil suggestions. Any of us, such as Judas, we may look at Judas and say, well, he betrayed the Lord. Well, understand this. Any of us can allow the devil to get in our hearts that we do that which is evil or do that which is sinful. But the Bible says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, the Bible says he rises from supper. While they were eating, he laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And I want us to understand here that humility is being willing to do any unpleasant task, no matter how lowly it seems. Humility, we'll find in the text, is being willing to do any unpleasant task, no matter how lowly it was. The Bible says, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. There was, they had in those times, they were all laying around. I know we see the pictures of Jesus and his disciples sitting around the table, but if you understand the customs here, they were had a lowered table where they laid in, and they all came in and their feet were dusty and dirty. And they would have a basin with a pitcher of water. And the purpose of it was to have someone to clean their feet. And the Bible says in verse number 6, that while Jesus was cleaning their feet, that he cometh to Simon Peter. And Peter said unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? In other words, Lord, you the king. You can't wash my feet. Jesus answered him and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. I want us to understand, as we're looking at the text, no one volunteered to wash another person's feet. Jesus, knowing that no one took the lead, he would become the example for them. The object lesson is that self-seeking and worldly desires must give way to self-denial when you're in the kingdom. In other words, my ambitions in life ought not come before me serving the Lord. I may be aspiring to get all the education and all the job and all the money and all that I want, but that does not supersede my service in the kingdom. Work does not take the place of worship. Work doesn't replace worship. When it's time to worship, that takes precedence before anything else in life. My service to God takes precedence, and Jesus had to teach them that lesson that they would learn. And so Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet, verse 8. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Jesus told him that if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. The purpose of the act that Jesus was trying to teach them was humility and a submission of your will for God's will. You have to submit yourself. Humility is submitting myself to the will of God. You know, as some of us, even some maybe in the Lord's church, that no one is going to tell me what to do. Well, I think you may have trouble going to heaven because you're going to have to submit yourself to someone. And if you don't submit yourself to the will of God, how are you going to go to heaven? Because you have to do, Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, that you have to do the will of God. You have to be willing to submit yourself to the will of God. That takes humility. Simon Peter said unto him after that, Lord, not my feet only, but also can you wash my hands and my head? And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, or just his feet, but he is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. What Jesus was sharing with him was that it's not your feet that need to be clean. It's your heart that needs to be clean. Brother Brooks shared this morning, one heart cannot be clean until he render obedience to the gospel of Christ. Until then, no one heart is clean because their sins are not forgiven. And so Jesus shared with them that when you are spiritually washed, you are clean every bit. But he said, I want you to know there's someone here with me. They identified Judas that will betray him. He said, but not all are clean. You know, we have to examine ourselves that our hearts are clean before the Lord. He says, for he knew, verse 11, who shall betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. See, Jesus said back in John 6 and verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Jesus knew all along who would betray him. He knew Judas would betray him. That's why he said, you are not all clean. Disciples wanted the other one to wash their feet. And what the Lord did now is he's going to bring shame on all of them. Notice in verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Or he wanted them to understand what I've done to you. What Jesus showed them was humility. He didn't think of himself, even though he was the king. He didn't think of himself above them. What he taught them was you have to serve one another. And that's why Peter, in remembering that, Peter said in verse 5, all of you be subject one to another. We have to learn to serve one another. That's learning humility, is when I can put someone else above me. That's humility. And so Jesus shared with them, I want you to understand what I have done to you. You all came in here. No one thought to wash the other person's feet. Therefore, I did it for you. And notice what he tells them. You call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, are you correct in saying that? For so I am your master, your teacher, and I am your Lord, Savior. And so Jesus tells them, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. If I put you above me, I'm trying to teach you to put others above yourself. He said, you are also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus taught them the love for humanity and the desire to please the Lord is the example to be followed. My love for mankind, trying to bring others to the Lord, trying to do for others, putting others above myself, trying to bring those to Christ, the love for the soul of man, all souls matter. That love that I have for humanity and that desire that I have to please God is the example that Jesus taught them, that you serve one another. Humility, as I said, is being willing to do any unpleasant task, no matter how lowly it may seem. Washing someone's feet is an unpleasant and a lowly task, but that's the example that Jesus taught them. And so going back to 1 Peter 5, as I move toward a close in these two verses, Peter said to them in verse number 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time. Again, we've talked about being humble in spirit. You know, it's how I think. He said, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. He said, humble yourselves under God's hand. Why? That he may lift you up spiritually in due time. Then he says, as I close, he said in Matthew 23 and 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Jesus said in Matthew 23, 12. And then the final verse this afternoon, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The word casting here means to put or to leave or to deposit. Just like one would leave or deposit money in the bank, Peter says, cast all your cares upon God. What a care. Cares are anything that causes one to be worried or afraid about what might happen. I know we're living in a time now where if we're not careful, we worry ourselves, or we become fearful about what might happen. But what Peter says to him, before you do all of that, take everything you have that may worry you, that may cause fear in you, Peter says, give it to God. Why? For he careth for you. Anyone, Brother Brooks shared, so well this morning in his lesson this morning from Acts chapter 9 about how those that were under Saul, that how he wreaked havoc on those that were Christians and went to get letters that he might bound them. And what Saul didn't realize, and what we need to be reminded, that when you are a child of God, as Peter said, he careth for you. You are the object of his care. When you're a child of his, you're a child of his, just like human parents. You know, our children are the object of our care and our concern. Our children are, well, we are children of God, and we are the object of his care. So Peter says in that verse, he says, give all that to God. Stop worrying. Stop being fearful. Give it to God. Why? For he cared for you. So I want to say, as we grow to be clothed with humility, understand that Peter says, when you humble yourselves under the hand of God, God will exalt you or lift you up. And then if you got any cares, any concerns that you are worried about, Peter said, give those over to God, because God cares for you. We are his children. We are his children. And that's why he said in the previous verse 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. So God cares for us. Cast your cares into God. And the psalmist writer said in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm, the 55th division in verse number 22. And so again, as I close this afternoon, thank you for your patience this afternoon regarding and being clothed with humility. That's a lifetime class that we can take as we develop more and more being humble in the sight of God. If there's one on the call today that's not a Christian, how does one become a Christian? Brother Brooks said this morning, if you're on the call this morning, one must obey the gospel. That gospel is written in verse number 18 of 1 Peter 3, where Peter said, for Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So the gospel message, you must believe that which is written in the scriptures, referred to as the gospel, that God loved you enough, that Jesus Christ lived on this earth. He died for our sins, the just for the unjust. That the reason for it was that he might bring us to God. When we render obedience to God, having heard the gospel, believe the gospel, we repent of our sins, and we turn to Christ. We confess, according to Acts 8:37, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then conclude that obedience in First Peter 3:21 talks about in water. The Bible says in verse 20, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. And so one has to be water baptized for the remission of his sin. And as I said in Acts 2:47, then the Lord will add you to the church. You're saved from your sin. Now you're a child of God. And so I hope that you will humble yourself and be obedient to the will of God and become a Christian. I thank you very much for allowing me to share God's word with you on this afternoon. Thank you again.